the Fan.
Draft is coming up in 8 days. Let's bring in the Ravens Director of Player Personnel, Eric DeCosta. We always talk with about the draft leading up to the draft. Eric, I don't know how many years we've been doing this.
Been a while.
Gosh, over a decade, right?
I always look forward to it.
When you were a kid, did you sit down in front of the draft all day like I still do? I mean, did you love it that much?
Oh, yeah. You know, I used to spend the whole weekend with my dad. It was a great chance for us to spend time together on the weekend. And, you know, we would have all the different publications, go through all the players. We had rankings. And my dad and I would each have a draft board. We would kind of keep track of the players, and we would give ourselves points for being right on players as they would come off in the order that we thought they would come off.
That's
and I was
great.
A big Cowboys fan, so I always paid a lot of attention to the Cowboys, and they kind of started the whole notion of scouting and the draft and computers and things like that with Gil Brandt and Tex Schramm. So that was exciting for me.
It's pretty great that you have those memories with your dad. My memories
of
my dad were, Dad, can I please read the sports page? Not yet. Talking with Eric DeCosta here on the Norris and Davis page, Norris and Davis show. Kirk McEwen is in for Ed today. All right, so size up this draft. What are the what have you guys assessed as the positions of strength and areas of maybe weakness in this draft?
Well, I think at the top of the draft, Steve, you see that there's probably 6 or 8 really excellent prospects. And then my estimation is going to be a little bit of a lull where you'll see maybe the next 20 prospects all sort of have the same type of grade, which is really good for a team drafting at the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. I think we have a chance to get a player who's equally as talented as a player that's taken at 8, 10, 12, 14 in the draft, which is exciting.
And you don't have to pay for him. You know, I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
Exactly right. And I think, so from the standpoint of the overall quality of the first round, I would say that it's probably an average-type first round in terms of a talent level across the board. The exciting thing that we see is that the second and third rounds look pretty strong, and we think we've got a chance to come out of this thing with 3 really good players in the first and second days of the draft.
What happened to running backs? Are you surprised that running backs have seemed to drop off the first round page? I mean, it looks like Trent Richardson's the only running back going in the first round, and it wasn't like that in years past. Even though I know it's a passing league, but to win in December and January, you got to run the ball. Are you surprised the way that's gone?
Well, I think just the game is the perception of the game has changed. I don't think the players at the running back position are any less talented than they were 5, 10, 20 years ago. I just think the league values the position maybe a little bit differently. And what we've seen is these running backs like a Ray Rice, you know, Matt Forte, Jones, Drew, you know, these guys have all gone in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, in some cases like Arian Foster, undrafted. And so because of that and because of the fact that it's a copycat league, teams are going to try and take the, quote, marquee positions in the first round, left tackle, corner, quarterback, and positions like safety, positions like running back, offensive guard, typically suffer.
Tell us about this guy, Peter Kahns of Wisconsin. A lot of mock drafts out there are linking you guys to him. So what's your assessment of him, and is this a guy that could play center or guard?
Well, he's got the size to do either. That's one of the real appealing things about Peter Kahns is he's got the size at the center position to play in the AFC North. He's 6'5", 320 pounds. He's played in a lot of bad weather games in Wisconsin, which is appealing to us. He's a tough, gritty guy. They've put a lot of good players in the league on the offensive line at Wisconsin. He's well-coached, well-schooled. He's a junior. The biggest issue with Peter is probably he's had some injuries over the last couple of years. He's been able to play through some of these type of issues. He's a real gritty, good player. And the fact that he's 6'5", he has a big, wide body to play against 3-4 teams, that's something that we really value.
How tough is it for you not to go after a guy like Mike Mamula, who does everything right in the combines? He looks like he might turn into a great player, but he fizzles out. Do you see guys that do great in the combine and say, man, this guy could be a Raven, but you have to make yourself not draft him?
Yeah, that's a tough sort of a, you know, check and balance thing. You know, we've made some mistakes over the years. You know, that was kind of a guy like Yaman Figures,
yeah,
who had unbelievable numbers and had some production as a returner in college, but not a lot of production, game experience / production. And we rolled the dice on him in the third round, and it just didn't work out. And I think what we've learned over the years through trial and error is really the tape matters most. And the production, the guy being able to play, the durability, making plays, the toughness, the football instinct, being out there every day, you know, all of those things really matter more than, you know, how the guy does in shorts at the combine.
Eric DaCosta from the Ravens joins us here on the Norris and Davis Show on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Another guy that you fellows are linked to is Dante Hightower from Alabama. Tell us about this linebacker.
Well, Steve, he's a big, physical guy. I would probably compare him to, just for the fans, size-wise, similar to Adelius Thomas from a size and height and speed perspective. This is a real talented athlete. He's played all over the defensive front for Alabama. He's played some Sam linebacker. He's played some Mike linebacker at times. He plays some defensive end. So versatility is a big plus with him. He's a good athlete. He's a downhill guy. We see him as a guy who could play either Sam backer or Mike backer for us. He's an intriguing prospect. I think he'll probably be gone before we pick. You know, a lot of these 3-4 teams covet him as a guy who can do a lot of different positive things for the defense. Obviously, he's played in a lot of big games at Alabama, and he's a good prospect.
Is Sergio Kendall done? Is that the reason you're even looking at Hightower? It seems like Kendall set you back at that position, and now you're sort of looking for somebody to fill the position that he was supposed to be.
Well, we drafted Sergio as a Sam backer, and he has had very little chance to contribute for various reasons. He's going to be here in the offseason program. We're very excited about him. I mean, athletically, as we look at Sergio, he's as good as anybody in this draft, you know, in terms of playing in space and playing on his feet and be able to rush the passer. We just need him to get a good offseason, which he hasn't really had. As you guys know, we drafted him. He came in. Last year we had the lockout. He didn't have any offseason. He's had some injuries. So we haven't closed the book on Sergio. We're very excited about him. We think he's going to be almost like an additional draft pick for us this year if he comes back as we expect. We look at, you know, a guy like Hightower is having some different positional flexibility, maybe being an inside back or an outside backer. So we don't see a duplication with Sergio. Sergio to us is going to be a pass rushing outside Sam backer or possibly a rush backer. So Hightower to me is a different entity.
Eric DaCosta, the Ravens Director of Player Personnel, joins us here in the Norris and Davis Show. What about a return man? Can you give us a sense of how you're going to go about that? Is that person going to come out of the draft? Free agency, what?
Well, you know, we looked at a couple free agencies in the first portion of unrestricted free agency, and it didn't fall the right way. We do like some guys in the draft that are, you know, fairly intriguing guys, and we've got guys that is sort of scattered in various rounds. We got some returners we think could help us in round one. We've got some guys that could help us in round three, round four, round five. What we try to do is slot guys in where we think their value is, and we kind of weigh their positional value versus their special teams value and make the best choice. And, you know, there are some dynamic guys, you know, in the latter parts of the draft that we think could come in and help us as return men, and hopefully that the board kind of helps us out in that regard.
Is it more or less important now with return men because of what's going on with kickoffs? John Morrow was quoted last week saying he thinks we might get to a point where they might not have kickoffs at all in the NFL. With touchbacks way, way up, return men are, it would seem to be less in need. Is that right?
Well, that would be a good question for our coaches. In my estimation, I would say probably kick returning has been devalued some, although I think if you have an elite guy, it's really, really good. I think in terms of punt returns, particularly with our team, with our defense being as good as it is and with us having the chance to stop offenses and get the ball back to us, having a dynamic punt returner for us, I think, is huge. And that's one of the things with the Chicago Bears that it is really, I think, helped them over the years. If you look at the amount of times they're able to score points on teams based because of the fact that their defense is pretty good and they get the ball kicked to them a lot and they've got Devin Hester back there, that's a huge bonus. And so for us, the idea of having a dynamic and explosive punt returner would be very appealing.
Ravens fans, Eric, are nervous about Billy Cundiff, a little anxious. Is there a scenario that you maybe draft a kicker late in the draft, or do you have your eye on some free agent kickers that you're going to bring in and have them go against kind of?
Well, we usually bring at least a kicker in to compete with Billy in camp, and I don't know that this would be any different this year. You know, we haven't drafted a lot of punters and or kickers. We drafted Sam Cook. We drafted Dave Zastadil way back when. But we haven't done it often. What we try to do is just set the board with positional players, special teams players, and get the board lined up right. And then we make those decisions as we're on the clock. You know, I don't think fans should expect us to draft a kicker real high in the draft. That option always exists for us in the later rounds. We're confident that Billy is going to come back this year and kick like he did 2 years ago. We're excited about Billy, and he's the right kind of guy for us back there at the kicker position, and we think he's going to rebound nicely.
Give us a guy, Eric, on your roster that is maybe ready for a breakthrough? You know, Bart Scott flew under the radar for a long time, became a Pro Bowl linebacker. Is there a guy or two that people maybe haven't seen so much, but because of departures, you're sitting there saying, oh, they're going to be surprised by how good this guy is?
Well, you know, a couple guys that have impressed me. You know, I've seen Terrence Cody here a lot. Now, obviously, he was a starter for us last year, but we expect that he's going to take the next step for us on defense and really be a mainstay on our defensive line. You know, I think another guy who played last year in sort of a part-time basis but had some production was Pernell McPhee. You know, losing Corey Redding in the offseason to the Indianapolis Colts has really opened up a significant opportunity for Pernell McPhee to be the main, you know, defensive end for us. We're excited about that. He's going to have some competition from some guys like Arthur Jones. We think that competition is going to be really healthy for him. We're excited about it, and we think the future is going to be really bright for both Cody and McPhee.
Tandon Doss hasn't played very much because he hasn't played special teams. Can he be a guy, an impact receiver, even though he doesn't have a huge impact on special teams?
Well, we think he can. And, you know, last year, before we drafted Tandon, he had what we call bilateral hernia surgery, and he was set back quite a bit. He actually couldn't run a 40 or test up leading up to the draft. We were excited to get him in the fourth round. We saw that. Because of the injuries, we saw that as a value to get a player that we had more highly rated in the fourth round. And we saw a lot of really positive things in practice with Tandon. We're excited to get him here in the offseason program. We think he's going to really develop and blossom, as most of our players do. And we expect him to have a really good season this year. Again, there's going to be some healthy competition. We think he's going to be a guy that's really going to benefit from that competition and push our veterans to get some more playing time.
Is this like tax time for an accountant for you? I mean, you're coming up on the draft 8 days away. You must be swimming with all these stats and names, and then it must even out after the draft.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And then what I'd like to do is maybe talk to a tax guy at some point and talk to him about that. Because, you know, the one thing between the two of them is it comes every single year. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the great things about, you know, drafting players. And one of the reasons why, for me as a young man, getting into scouting was so appealing, because we have our Super Bowl every single year. And you have a chance to really see how you can impact a team. I can look back on our drafts over the years and actually see evidence of helping this team. That's exciting. And what I'll also tell you, Kirk, is after the draft, it's like, you know, a little bit of a depression for me. You know, it's hard, you know, because you build up over 9 months, and then essentially you have the baby, and then it's just, okay, now what? I got to change the diapers, you know. Last year I had a torn Achilles. This year I'm doing a lot better. It's been a lot of fun. The one thing that we all, you know, sort of enjoy here in Baltimore is we have a great staff, and our guys have been together. Steve, you've seen us many times. We have a great scouting staff. We've been together for many years. And so work is really fun, and this is the most fun of all year.
Eric, thank you. Good luck in the draft. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
So Eric DaCosta joining us here in the program.
How lucky are we to have that guy? I mean, he got